Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Boom! Bam! Mike Tomlin.
Tell them how you really feel.
Chase Claypool. He can play wide out where hopefully he doesn't run the wrong route or drop the ball when he's calling for it on 3rd and 1. Catch the ball instead of using the hands to catch the ball to grab somebody else's helmet and almost start a fight when we're getting killed in a game. Chase Claypool.
This is not, I'm holding off here.
This is not asking, hey, Troy Polamalu, what can we do to make practice better? Hey, Cam Hayward, what can we do to make practice better? It's a guy who in the offseason kicked somebody in the head. We're asking that question to Chase Claypool.
I actually forgot about that.
The lowest move in any fight is to be the guy kicking somebody when they're down, in my opinion.
I forgot about that.
That's like, what, the Joe Pesci
role? The best
role?
Kick by a Steeler since Boswell, Malzi.
Really? Did we need that? Did we? Do we need to drop that in right now?
Better than any of Presley Harvin's punts this year, Malzi.
Wow.
Right?
I'm trying to think of... Who was the kicker that missed a ton? They brought him in briefly. I'm trying to think of who it was.
Josh Scobie.
Yeah. It was better than anything Josh Scobie did wearing a Steelers uniform, Malzi. Do you like that one, Malzi?
Arthur, are practices meant to be fun in the regular season? What do you think? By the way, Arthur Motes brought to you by Parks Casino. Must be 21 gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now, you know that's a loaded question right there. Are they supposed to be fun? Because at
Answer it the best then.
Well, I was going to say,
reframe it if you want to.
At times, practice is fun when you are winning, when you're doing it the way you're supposed to. When I think of our time here, 2014 through 17, man, we had a ball at practice. We joked. Even sometimes we had music out there. But we were playing at such a high level, it was warranted. We were playing at a high level, and coach kind of looked at it as, okay, if this is what you guys – you know, this is how you guys operate, and y'all are rewarding us by playing the way that y'all are supposed to be playing, then we can do these
things. It's like a kid that behaves for his mom and dad.
Absolutely. But at the same time, I can also remember in 2014 where it wasn't as fun. We went through a little bit of some, you know, up and downs trying to get back to the winning ways and get into the playoffs, where coach took all the fun stuff out the
pool
locker
table,
room.
Pool table, gone.
That's how we birthed trash can ball, where we shoot the basketball into the trash can because it was like, yo, we need something to do in here. We ain't got no other games. But when you are playing bad,
who was the best Steeler at that, by the way?
I already know the answer to this.
I had two people. I said either L. Bell or Cam Hayward.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you would say Ben because he just has that reputation.
Ben wouldn't fraternize like that.
You got to think, this is 14, 15 time frame. He ain't fraternized with us back then. Like that, you know, 15, middle of the year, that's when it changed because it was like, all right, I can respect everybody. I see y'all doing what y'all supposed to do. We good here. But back then, it was like, hey, man, I don't know y'all like that. Y'all keep the noise down in the lower level of the locker room. Yeah. But he took the games away, man. So for us, it was like, man, we understood why. Did it suck? Absolutely. And there were plenty of times during that time frame where we hated to show up to work. You come into work with the hoodie on. He's like, man, this isn't fun. But then when you start winning on the field and you start performing like we're supposed to perform, that moniker, the standard being the standard, well, then we saw him start to loosen the reins up. But I was also here in 15 and was it? No, 16. That was the year we got whooped by Miami, down in Miami, right? It was a J.J. hit 200 yards on the ground. And I remember how it reeled it all back in to the point where if your toes weren't on the white line of the goal line at exactly 1:30 p.m., he was fining people thousands of dollars. That is the extreme with it, right? But once again, once we started winning, we went on that run of, what, 10, 12 in a row? He loosened back up. So when I hear these comments by Chase or these recommendations, it's like, man, recommended after y'all are winning. recommend it after you guys are playing more consistent, because right now it just comes off as tone deaf. And not to mention it, the messenger probably isn't the best.
That would
person.
Be like if Lennox went to you and said, "Daddy, give me M&Ms and then I'll start to behave and listen to you. But you know, give me the candy first."
He did that this morning. I was like, "Do you want breakfast?" And I said, he said, "No." Then he walked into the pantry and he said, "This says 100 grand. Pulled out a
candy bar.
Yep.
That's a quality candy bar. And did he have it?
No, I said, "You can't have that right now." And to my shock, he put it back. Oh, no, we're knee deep in it.
Well, that's
right
strict
now
disciplinarian
him.
Mulsey.
We're knee deep in it.
That's Arthur, Bill Belichick Mulsey.
Arthur, I don't think I told you this. We're in the stage right now. He just turned three a week and a half ago, where I say, "Hey, man, how about we do this? Or how about you eat this?" And he just straight up says, "How about no?"
No.
Yep. He doesn't just say no. He says, "How about no?" And he knows that he's being funny and sarcastic.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it happens, man.
You know what's the funny thing, though, in all seriousness, about like this Chase Claypool story and you telling us that they took away all the fun stuff for you back in the day? Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember hearing guys even talk about it. It just, you started to play better. And you guys clearly had a level, and I'm sure Ben being younger and better also helps. You have a better quarterback, it just helps. But you guys clearly had a fundamental level of professionalism baked in there and want to and desire that, man, I do not see with this group. And again, I am sure part of that is that Ben is not good enough to sort of lift it up and score more points and help them out in some of these games, like all great quarterbacks tend to do when they're in their primes, like Rodgers is still doing right now, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But man, the rest of these guys, it's just, it's such an uninspired vibe that I get.
Well, what did you say, Donnie, off the air about this team? As a season ticket holder and a big fan who tailgates before every games, and
oh, you're a gravel lot partisan, my friend.
Your life revolves around the Steelers. What did you say about this team right now?
If you view it from just an average fan
perspective,
they're a very unlikable team. And I feel like they have been for the last few years.
They're not really unlikable to me because, in the sense that like guys are doing bad stuff, ugly stuff off the field. It's just unlikable is one, mainly because they seem a little bit arrogant, and guys who just got here just assumed I put on the uniform, I become Superman. There is no work involved here. You just get drafted by the Steelers and you're immediately great. That part of it's unlikable, and also just, I don't know, you do get used to watching a certain kind of football when you watch the Steelers, and they are not delivering any of it.
I mean, don't you think this comment from Tomlin, from a question from Jeff, speaks to what Donnie's talking about?
What can help improve the physicality of the defense?
Effort.
That is an indictment from the coach. Yeah.
How do you love and respect a team and like a team that doesn't give effort all the time?
That's part of the reason why some of the alumni are frustrated, because the way fans view effort versus how we view effort might be different, but when we look on the tape and we say, all right, on this particular play, are you changing speeds?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we mean by that? Not in terms of your read when the play initially starts, but once the ball is declared, are we noticing you change your burst? Like 1 minute you're going really fast, then you slow down because you think a guy makes a tackle, then you see they don't make a tackle, now you want to increase your speed again. Well, for the professional athletes, that's considered a loaf, because you can't determine when that guy's going to miss or make that tackle. You can't determine when that ball might get tipped, where it might be a fumble. That's why we talk about, even though you might not be making the play, you still got to go and arrive with bad intentions. And when you watch them, all 11 guys don't do that.
That's the Devin Bush thing for me
in
a nutshell.
They don't do it. And when we try, we'll put it on every other thing, right? Oh, it's this excuse, it's that excuse. This player is out. This guy was hurt, this and that. But it's like, no, that is effort related. If I can cut the tape on and I can see you change speed where, oh, man, you were jogging and now you're all of a sudden frantically running, that is not acceptable. That's not the Steeler way. But unfortunately, that's what it is right now until they change it.
I think it's interesting that some guys like Mika and Schobert are saying we need to take practice more seriously, and Claypool's answer is let's loosen things up.
it's the exact opposite.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I don't get, like,
More focus, more energy, and he goes, well, let's turn the music
Claypool
up.
Claypool has been seen as a high-character guy, which could mean he's not going to get in trouble off the field, except you pointed out he kicked a guy in a parking lot fight. It reminds me more of, a Southern California surfer mentality. Hey, man, in the NFL, this is fun.
Yeah.
Like, football is fun. What do you guys make of this? Vince Williams saying, going to the mat here a little bit for Devin Bush. Do you guys see this tweet?
I did. Yeah.
I want you to hear this, because to me, Vince Williams is a downhill dump truck of a hitter who would not be particularly sympathetic to Devin Bush right now, maybe. Devin's game's always centered around explosion and power. It takes an athlete 8 to 12 months just to get back from an ACL. It's going to take at least double that to get back to the high level of cutting and exploding that's needed to look like a top 10 pick. So it's going to take him 16 to 24 months?
Unfortunately,
a three-year ACL recovery?
He doesn't have that time.
Dude,
I'm sorry, he doesn't have that much time.
Let me ask you this question about him for a second.
I mean, that is surprising to hear a guy who I would think is frustrated watching him say,
but you,
like,
but
2 years?
But you also have to remember, that was Vince's puppy. That was Vince's young guy. So the same way I felt about Bud Dupree to an extent, it's like, man, it's something when that's your young guy that you kind of groom and you help out on and off the field, you're going to be a little bit more sympathetic.
Are you a dog guy?
I do have dogs, yeah. I'm not a dog lover per se, but I do own dogs. I mean, I like them
more because the kids are,
yeah, the kids in the life. Yeah, I'm more of a fish guy.
I'm more of a fish guy.
I like pets that just look good and require zero effort to deal with. They don't bark, they don't poop, they don't make mistakes. Like, that's just me, but I understand animal lovers, which is why, like I said, I got two Frenchies. The kids and the wife love them.
We had goldfish when I was a kid, and we had somehow a mini shark in the tank.
Yeah, well, see, I had shark, like, growing up, man, I had the big 50-gallon tank, whole bunch of all type of.
And when they died, would you just flush them down the toilet?
I don't think many of the goldfish made it to a natural death with the little shark in there.
Yeah, yeah. At least that's what we were trying to
that's
do.
Like what James Bond would do with the cat in the beginning of those, you know, the bad guy would do.
Here's more from Tomlin.
Given our current circumstance, man, attire is something that could change this week in an effort to position us to play a better brand of football. I'm open to all of those things.
You think putting the pads on fixes what he's talking about? Attire.
To an extent. And I know some people are like, well, why haven't they been having pads on? Just context. CBA, you got, what, 14, 16 practices, so you don't get a chance to go padded practice every single week, every single practice. So that is part of the reason why he's talking about bringing them up right now, and I do think it could help. But at the same time, I mean, when I'm watching it, some of the stuff I still feel like is more mentality related. Now, can you improve the mentality by starting in practice? Yes, but I do think it's bigger than just your attire on one day out the week, and it's not – and I've been in the situation where he's – put the pads back on us later in the year.
And so what was the message then? Like, you guys...
No, but the thing was, it was, at the time, we weren't being physical enough at the point of attack during goal line short yard situations. So even with them putting the pads back on, it wasn't like you're going to have pads on for the whole practice. It was situation. So if we're struggling on first and 10 run plays, well, when we come out there Wednesday or Thursday, we were going to be out there in pads for that part of practice, but then we would remove the pads after that part was over with. So that's why it's like, I get it. It can help. But as a whole, it starts with the guys inside. I mean, they got to just look in the mirror and say to themselves, look, man, we're not turning down contact from here on out. We are going to be a physical group, because regardless of any of the names that we name, all of those guys are physical enough to be stout at the point of attack. You wouldn't make it to this level if you couldn't do the prerequisite of just being stout at the point of attack. But at this level, it's less about technique and sometimes more about the mentality. And I mean, the guy that me and you were talking about, Mosley, off the air, was Patrick Queen. We said, you look at Patrick Queen, you look at Devin Bush. They're still very similar in terms of size, in terms of their style of play, speed guys, right? Yep. A little bit more finesse. But you watch when Patrick Queen comes downhill. And what I mean by downhill, on a run play, watch how he attacks the line of scrimmage. Watch how he will throw his body into these linemen. And then you watch Devin Bush. And then you tell me which of these guys are trying
to
be physical.
What about the knee injury, though, then? That people would say.
So you tell me, how does going straight downhill affect the knee injury?
And that's right.
And I was just responding. That's why. Because I say to myself, if we're talking your lateral movement, which is what Vince was talking about, your explosion, your lateral stuff, I get that. But when we're watching the tape of him, are we seeing a lot of him missing because of his breaking down? Are we seeing a lot of, man, he's just getting out-athleted? No, that's not the case. We're seeing a lack of physicality. We're seeing a lack of, you know, finish at times when he's at the point of attack, where he has arms on defense, or when he has his arms on the ball carrier. To me, that's not knee related. And that's why I can get what Vince is saying, but for me, I don't necessarily agree with it 100% because of the other things that I see.
So, like, you would say it would make more sense that he would be really struggling in pass coverage because of the knee than it would be so much coming
downhill. Or open field tackling and not even getting hands on guys. Like, think about Vince, right? Vince was limited athletically. So when Vince would miss a tackle, it wasn't because he had his arms on him and he just didn't drive his legs or his head was behind the ball carrier. No, it was, you know, he couldn't catch this guy. He just couldn't get over there. When you watch Devin's not getting juked out of his shoes. Devin's not getting just left. No, he's making contact. He's there, but he's not finishing.
Did you feel like there was a translation? If you guys had a great week of practice, it usually meant you played better on Sunday? Did you think those two things were hand in hand in your NFL career?
Yes and no. The reason I say yes is because that's been like ingrained in my head since college. Oh, you play good on
practice hard on Wednesday.
You'll play good in the first quarter. You practice good on Thursday. You play good in the second quarter. Friday, you finish the game. And I'm like, well, we ran out of days, coach. We only practice in 3 days, and it's four quarters.
And the Thursday game, you'd really be screwed.
Exactly.
The coach is holding up 45 minutes, boys. Minutes.
So for me, younger me, I was all in buying into it. But as I got older, I'm like, does it help? Absolutely. But you mean to tell me Ben's performance in L.A. would have been better if he would have practiced a little bit more versus how it played out with him not being out there to practice? That's my only thing. So I get the sentiment, but I don't think it's the end-all be-all.
Donnie, were you a big practice guy at Greensburg-Salem? Did you set the standard in practice? You came out, you got on the sophomores, you were a work hard, let's win the games on Friday, right now, on Wednesday in practice? Was that your
role? I wasn't really like the root motivational speaker type. I was more the lead by example, I'd say, as I got older.
But in the weight room, you're getting there early. You're going through your snap
your deadlifts,
routines.
Your squats.
First guy in, last guy in.
Yeah, like all those lifts that suck then, and I really never did after football. I tried to be a little bit motivating there, but I wasn't like a cheerleader type.
Not a raw. You know what's funny about like the whole idea of can one guy like change the mood? Like they have that guy. Hayward is that guy.
Yeah.
Like he is a serious, serious man in there, and it is very clear that when it comes to their practices, Arthur, he's a serious guy. I think Minka, by and large, is a serious guy too, the way he talked about it, like more tempo. You're right, though, to say it needs to be every dude in there looking at themselves in a mirror and having a real hard internal conversation.
And how many times have you heard me say before, if you need somebody to motivate, you need outside motivation at this level, man, you might be in the wrong profession.
Well, Colony had an idea in terms of the practice stuff that he brought up to Tomlin that he really was not interested in today. So Colony did not suggest music like Claypool, but Jim subtly worked in, here is my idea on how to make practice better. And Tomlin swooped in and just shot it down.
He fought off the block and made the
play. I don't care that you've covered football for 50 years, Jim. You don't know jack, pretty much.
I'll get started at 5:40 with the pre-show.
Fan Hotline presented by Nemecol. Around every corner, Nemecol creates real-life magic for guests. Jim Colony was there with Mike Tomlin asking the hard questions, the pressing questions after a 31-point loss to the Bengals. We were just talking about practice. Andrew Filippone, Arthur Motes in with us. Chris Muller, Donnie Football producing. And Jim had an idea for Mike Tomlin today on the practice front. He didn't say, hey, why don't you play The Who or The Beatles or some music from my generation? He said, why don't you make Ben Roethlisberger practice during the week? How'd that go over, Jim?
He never answered that part of the question. He just kind of talked in generalities about guys who need work will get work and whatever. I mean,
was important to say, hey, the quarterback, why don't you make him set the tone in practice? What sparked that question in you to ask him that?
Well, he made him work at the end of the game when it was completely useless in Cincinnati. It was completely counterproductive, and maybe it would be more productive that maybe he and Chase Claypool could get a few more reps together. And I don't know if that would do any good, but it might help a little bit. Just a thought.
I like the Big J journalist over there, baby. I'm with that.
How long has he been, Arthur, a guy that would get Wednesday and Thursday sort of off? Was that even during Steelers career?
I date back to 14. Yeah, 14, he was never a Wednesday guy. We knew Thursday was going to be condensed a little bit, and then Friday was Fast Friday, so all of us were trying to get out of there. But the one constant with Ben was he's going to show up and play at an extremely high level on Sundays. So you stick with
it. That's not a constant anymore.
Yeah, I'm saying that's where it's like changed now, man. But that's interesting, though, that, you know, with that question, he avoided that part, because I do agree, though, that sentiment, like, what's the purpose of having him finish that game against the Bengals where it's clearly out of hand, but you don't want him to be out there practicing a little bit more?
Is there a purpose?
Hey, I'm sitting on a better Ben question. I almost asked it today, but I'm going to give it one more week and then see where it goes.
What is it?
Or do you not want to say it because you don't want them to be prepared for it if you decide to spring them?
It might not be necessary. It probably will be, but we'll see what happens.
Oh, this feels I'm sniffing around this one like a bloodhound, Jim.
The other thing about asking questions is that you need to try to phrase them so that you can't get the yes or no answer. And I think I sent you guys in the one with Caboli, who he was prepared for the yes or no one word answer because he didn't give up the microphone as soon as he finished answering his question. He held it knowing that he might have to go with a follow up, which he did. And I thought there was another one. There were a couple of instances where I was prepared for Tom, and not necessarily with my question, but with a couple of others to just say one or two words and then stop, particularly based on who asks the questions. And yet he expounded on quite a few. I thought that, and I don't know, and Arthur, I don't know if he was like this sometimes with the players, but I've noticed that he often is much snippier after when there things are going well than when things aren't going well. And sometimes he tends to be a little bit more reflective and kind of, I don't know if soft spoken is the right way to put it. And reflective is not quite it either, but just something along.
Maybe a little bit more. He's been eating humble pie for the last 48 hours whatever.
That might be it.
Well,
but
now the other question I asked that was, how he always talks about the noise and, you know, when things aren't going well, you have to avoid the noise. And I said, but what happens when that noise comes from, and Arthur, I should have singled all of you guys out because I just said blanket because there are so many of you, you know, there's you, there's Hokie, there's Ryan Clark.
McFadden.
I'm trying to think McFadden this morning on the morning show. My God, was he biting? And anyway,
yeah, he said the Bengals staged a home invasion and drank the Steelers' ice cold juice.
Yo,
what?
That's crazy.
It sounded like he wanted to say drink their ice cold beer while sitting on the couch, but he said juice, and it became very funny.
Wow.
I tweeted this out too when I retweeted where our producer Matt put the audio from BMAC's appearance. I just said there's nothing better than an angry Steeler. You know, an angry ex-Steeler. And that's why, and Arthur, I remember we talked about it a week ago in this spot. And Chris Hoke, man, he just gets – Hokie always – you talk about a guy that could get fired up. And he gets really fired up. I guess he did after the game on, you know, with Pomp on KDKA. And then Ryan was clearly upset. And then BMAC knew what Ryan had said, so he had to take it up a notch. But Tomlin actually – I thought he was going to slough it off. But he actually gave a fairly thoughtful answer, just saying that, well, they've lived it.
Yep.
And he did allow I think Jeff has a story. I think he wrote that part of the news conference today on the website, 937thefan.com. He actually expounded on it and admitted, which he should, that if you guys feel that way, then you have a right to feel that way, and you have a license to feel that way because of your experience. You know, not that any of the rest of us would think that Devin Bush quit on a play before it even got underway. If I say that, that has no juice. You say that, then that means something. And, you know, and look, and Arthur, you've been involved in the team meetings and the film sessions where, I mean, if he's going to keep it real, I just can't imagine. And let me continue my little rant here by asking you a question. Because have you ever seen an instance where it looks like a teammate, and forget about the ACL injury and all that stuff, and God bless Vince for sticking up for his guy. But have you ever seen a teammate confront another teammate when it clearly appears to everybody that there's no effort being given?
I mean, yeah, you have to. I mean, that's the accountability factor. And when you're a close group, it's never viewed negatively. It's viewed like I'm coming at you out of love. So, yeah, I've definitely seen those happen.
Because I can't imagine that Cam Hayward is – and I guess maybe he wants to avoid the obvious Ohio State-Michigan dynamic. but a guy like Cam Hayward who is – I mean, I don't know if I've seen a guy, and he's – it's like I've never seen him not give an effort, but it seems to me the last two games, even though it didn't go well for – the other 10 guys on defense, I don't know if I've ever seen him play harder. He just never gives up. And he's playing nose tackle. Man.
Jim, are the Steelers mad about the way the Claypool music thing got put out there?
Yes, because speaking of Cam Hayward, he has a radio appearance on the flagship station on Wednesday mornings, and I saw on Twitter what he had said, that he wanted to rip the speakers out when he heard this. Okay, so he's upset about it. And I don't know if you guys, I can't remember when it was exactly, if it was preseason or if it was regular season had started yet, but there was a little dust up in practice between Claypool and Minka Fitzpatrick. And Minka had done a Zoom earlier yesterday, and he was, you guys probably played this stuff.
Yep.
He was very pointed about how needing to get more serious at practice, and this nonsense has to stop. And then you got the other guy, you know, his practice adversary. And the only thing is that they don't go up against one another in practice during the regular season, except, I don't know, Arthur, how often do they do ones on
probably
one?
Just seven shots. That's probably it, yeah. The first plays of practice, that's about it.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
No, that's good enough because I think that's when that dust-up happened. I can't remember if it was 11-on-11. It might have been down on the goal line. But there was some bad blood there. I
seem to recall not many Steelers seeming to, like, I would hear through the grapevine. I'm not asking for a practice violation. If you want to commit one,
that's fine.
Actually, yeah, who am I kidding?
We
here?
Want
I am.
A violation. Come
I
on.
Seem to yeah. recall hearing through the grapevine that virtually none of the Steelers really took Claypool's side in that whole dust up. That was very much a pro Minka and Minka backed situation.
Well, Chris, if those are your sources, I'll have to just take your word for it.
Jim,
I'm not going to dispute it.
We got a new guy in here. Donnie Football might be he might have a quick trigger, but we want him to err on the side of that and not the alternative.
Jim Colony, 93.7thefan.com. Read him there. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, see you guys.
Donnie got downhill and played that drop. He was committing to playing that drop, and that's what we need out of the Steelers' defense, a little commitment there.
I don't mind if you get tricked. Just be aggressive.
Right, Donnie.
Just be aggressive.
Technically,
baby.
Jim threw over your head, but we wanted you flowing to the ball.
I think he looked like he was Spillane at the goal line on Derrick Henry there.
That's right. He was ready for a collision.
I was pretty dead set on playing that the moment you guys mentioned the violation.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia, Wexner, North Huntington, Uniontown. Coming up, by now, our listeners have heard about Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame, not even giving them a heads up, an 11-minute meeting today, an email last night, a coach who was recruiting and walked out of somebody's house and found out about it and said, well, now I look like a bleeping a-hole.
Oh, buddy, you looked like one long before that. Don't worry.
There is now a twist in the Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame saga that involves Pitt. 352, stop out today to Century 3 Chevy for their used car sale. Malzi brought it up earlier this hour. Former Steeler Vince Williams going to bat for Devin Bush. We'll bring you those comments next hour. I want to just recant something that I said 5 minutes ago.
Uh-oh.
Brian Kelly did not talk to Notre Dame for 11 minutes. Per The Athletic, it was 2 minutes, and he didn't take questions.
Well, it's better than being a one-minute man. So that's got to be a plus.
Who wrote a song about that? Missy Elliott?
757. That's my
really?
Hometown.
So how about this? Yeah. Bruce Feldman, who's broken a ton of stories, one of the biggest college football insiders. He's on the Fox show, the Fox College Football show. The one that's before their big noon game.
Is that the one where, like, Leinart was, and
with
all
Reggie
those guys?
Bush in
yeah, Reggie, poor yeah. Reggie Bush, a San Diego kid, was so cold before the
big.
It looked like Reggie Bush was going to, like, freeze, like, in a movie or something.
He couldn't
even
speak all the way.
I've never seen, and I respect people, especially athletes that go into this, especially like Arthur, who puts in a lot of work to be good at this. I've never seen a cast of former players with more players who say less. Like, I've watched that big noon kickoff because it's like, all right, I'm going to watch Michigan, Ohio State. I might as well have this channel on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they never, ever, 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 ever say anything that I find interesting or enlightening.
Well, do you think Leinart's head is really in it, or is he thinking about?
I don't know. Like I don't
being Matt Leinart.
I don't exactly go to like watch College Game Day to think they're gonna say something so profound and provocative that it's.
Yeah, you're there to watch Corso take the head off and then put on a new one.
Who's the celebrity picker?
A much better vibe and energy to it. Like it actually gets you. They could put a mascot head on and. You know, but show
they
signs.
They get Katy Perry to show up for that and be hyped.
I was
going to
say the settings, though, are different, though. Because College Game Day, you do get that live crowd atmosphere. Yeah. Whereas, like, with the big noon kickoff, it's, like, isolated. They're the only ones there.
They got to fix that.
Yeah. And when it's cold like that, it doesn't help out.
So, Feldman, the top six candidates to replace Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. Fifth on the list, Pat Narduzzi. Right up, another Catholic coach from the Midwest.
Wow.
Narduzzi's stock is hot.
Let's go.
Narduzzi's stock is hot. After leading the Panthers to a 10-2 season, he's been a consistent winner, but he's never had a breakthrough season like 2021. The fiery former Michigan State defensive coordinator has done well at developing talent and getting a lot out of his players.
I'm sorry.
Can you imagine Notre Dame is going to replace a coach who broke Newt Rockne's record
for wins.
Yeah. With no doubt about it, Pat Narduzzi? I mean, come on.
Yes.
Who would be... Wow.
That's got to be Narduzzi's agent saying, hey, can you do my guy a favor and get his name?
Leak this story real quick, man.
Right? Yes. I mean, there's...
It was an exceptional write-up.
How far would Notre Dame have to get their list?
I got a betting odds thing for the next Notre Dame head coach. There was also the next Spencer Rattler school. Pitt was not on the Spencer Rattler, and Narduzzi, on a list of like 14 or 15 coaches, was not even on the list. It is 100% the agent doing the thing.
I think Tomlin has a better chance of being Notre Dame's next coach than Narduzzi.
And he said never say never, but never.
Yeah, and Brian Kelly also co-signed that. He cited Mike Tomlin and
did
said,
you see that?
He
cited Tomlin's line and said, yeah, unless there's a fairy godmother with a bunch of money, well, I guess LSU manufactured
fairy godmother
one.
With a bunch of money,
here's
man.
What he said, quote, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? Unless that fairy godmother comes by with that $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her.
So, well, it took a third of that to get him there.
Let's say, it wasn't even a 200. Yeah. Okay.
I do love the agent. There was one recently, and I can't remember, where it's like obvious that an agent floated a name out there.
Oh, the Kingsbury thing just happened with Oklahoma, and everybody laughed at Schefter for even like giving it the light of day.
No, it was something. It was like a coach. It was an agent of a coach who hasn't been that good. Oh, here's what it was. Here's what it was today. It was somebody being told that Adam Gase would listen if Notre Dame called.
Oh, that can't be real. That's got to be a spoof tweet.
Pony,
it has to be.
Pony.
I don't buy that.
Adam Gase?
I'm telling you, I saw it, and I was like, is that...
Mr.
I don't even, honestly, if it was a spoof tweet, it got me and it was a good laugh because that's what it reminded me of is here's a bad coach's agent getting
Narduzzi
out ahead of this.
Do you think Narduzzi is honestly turning heads, though, with the job he's done here?
I think a lot of it is that people are just saying he's got a senior-laden team, a lot of sixth-year guys, like extra year, super, super senior years, right? Or the COVID year, and he's got a quarterback who's lighting it up.
Yeah, I think the quarterback part is 100%, but I also think it's different when you're not in the city covering the team full time, right? For us, we see it ground level. We see the good, the bad, the day-to-day that really, you know, can be bad at times. Whereas if you're a person from another state, another city, you're looking at it from abroad, you're like, well, you know what? Pitt never wins like that. They got 10 wins. Pitt never is in contention for the AC Championship. They're going to play in that. They got a Heisman hopeful. You know what? Yeah, I think he is doing a great job over there. But perception.
What are you laughing about now?
I just Googled Adam Gase Notre Dame, and it is literally
what?
It's literally just all Jets fans on Twitter trying to get it started.
That's funny. Wow.
I just searched it, and they're all posting pictures of Adam Gase as the front runner. No, I think Arthur's right though. But like, here's the problem: bird's eye view is different than locally. But I remember when Pat got hired here, he was doing the work. Like he just authored a signature game. I think either right before or right after he got hired. They were in the Cotton Bowl playing Baylor, that high-powered Baylor team, right?
Yep.
And they're getting smoked, their defense. He comes down out of the booth and charges down to the field for the fourth quarter. They shut him out and come back and win game. This is not that for him. This is not his side of the ball. The two games they've lost this year.
Yeah, but he got Pickett here. That's what he gets credit for.
And he deserves it.
And Addison.
He deserves it.
He found two great players.
Awesome. Here's the problem. they would be either 11-1 or, this is inconceivable to even think of, 12-0, except he, I know he says he's more, like what, he's more of a CEO kind of guy, I guess. His side of the ball couldn't figure out Western Michigan's RPO and couldn't figure out Miami, who has once again revealed themselves to be just a mediocre but Miami team.
All that being said, though, the last two guys that left for greener pastures, Todd Graham and Paul Christ, did far less than what Narduzzi did this year.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.